It's time for Hartley's CAT Scan, a weekly podcast featuring the who's who of your Prince George Cougars.
And welcome to CAT Scan, as we talk of the Prince George Cougars, and our guest wants to talk about the PG Cougars. He has been involved with the hockey team as a co-owner for nearly 10 years. He's been with the organization going back to the 90s when he played with the team. And Eric, first off, welcome to CAT Scan again. We've done these interviews about once a season with you, but I imagine as good a mood as you can be considering how well the team is playing.
Yeah, we've certainly had some growth within our team, and the vision all along was to kind of get to a really competitive level, which we're at, and hopefully that translates into more success moving forward in the season.
What has pleased you the most, first on ice and then perhaps off ice?
Yeah, good question. Certainly on ice. For the most part, the consistency. Like, we've played fairly consistent. Most of the guys are slotted in really good spots for them to do well. And everyone's pretty clear on a meaningful role. So that helps it's a credit to the coaching staff for sure. For making it like that. That was the plan all along. And from an off-ice standpoint, obviously seeing more people in the building and having more buzz in the community, whether through the players getting out and mixing it up with the different events that they do, or just being part of the community. And Taylor Dakers and the crew in the office doing a real good job connecting with the community and finding solutions for people to get them into the building and to enjoy some great hockey.
You were in Prince George for those games against Portland, 6,000 Indigenous night, 3,000 the night before. That was entertaining hockey for the fans, for the media, players, coaches. For yourself watching, were you enjoying those games as much as everybody else? And to take you back to your playing days in the WHL, how were you viewing those games when you saw six excellent periods of hockey?
Well, I'm happy that we're playing six excellent periods of hockey. I'm happy that we're playing a team as good as Portland. You know, they're obviously, we're sitting in the same roles as a number of teams, and so that makes for an entertaining weekend. Quite honestly, there's so much to like about the weekend. The attendance is great. Indigenous Night is a fantastic evening. It's a big part of our community outreach, and it's a big part of the community up north. So it's great to be able to recognize that and get people in the building and make it a big cultural event, which is important. I think the competition level was very high, and I thought, we were a little better on the Friday, Portland a little better on the Saturday, and if that's the hockey we're going to be exposed to for a big block of time, then I think we all want to see more.
Now, you watch every game, probably most online, but you're still really in tune with what the team does on a day-to-day basis, correct?
Correct.
And you still have regular conversations with Mark Lamb, the head coach and general manager. I imagine those talks with Mark have to be a lot more enjoyable this season. Not saying that they were not pleasant in the past, but you know yourself, you've been around the game a long time. Winning is fun. Conversations are more fun when you're winning. Doing interviews are more fun when you're winning.
Indeed it is. But to be perfectly honest, like, our conversations are still based in a very similar matter on what's working for what our expectations are, what's not working as a team, what's not working as an individual, or what's working well. Like, if a player has a great week, we're touching base, two to four times a week probably. And so just kind of going over those things and finding the small wins for the players and other things within the operations, and maybe finding some discussion pieces for things that maybe didn't go as well. So while yes, it's great to be winning more games, how we approach that is very similar. Just the outcome has been a little more favorable this last block of time.
So just remind PG Cougar hockey fans how the structure works within the ownership, because from what I gather, you are responsible from the ownership group for the hockey side in terms of communicating and talking with Mark Lamb. And then you have, on the other side, John Pateman, your team president, is responsible for the business side, and he has constant discussions with Taylor Dacres. Is there anything more to it than that? Is that the simplified way of explaining it to everybody?
It is. And also that Greg represents the team at the league level. So any of the league meetings, Greg is our advocate for those.
Right. So Greg Pocock in terms of all that. So right now, I've asked, you know, coaches in the past, I've asked players, and sometimes the response is a little bit different, but do you consider the PG Cougars the best team in the Western Conference and or WHL, or among the best teams in the Western Conference and WHL?
We're one of them. It's a pretty bold statement at any given day to know that you are the only team. And I don't know if anybody's able to claim that with any honesty. Right now there's getting to be a little bit of separation, but on any given night, if you don't play well, you probably won't win, right? Like we just played Spokane, and statistically we're a bit ahead of them, but they play better than us and they won the game, you know, and they deserve to win the game. So that element is still there, which is what you want for a strong, healthy league, which ours is. And so it's a continual process, and it seems like there's constant checks and balances that kind of keep you honest as you go through the season, and you kind of learn with your players as you go along on how to be an upper level team.
Individually, there's been a lot of success with the Prince George Cougars. Most recently, Riley Height becoming the all-time PG Cougars leader in assists and points. He did that in the same game when he had a goal and two assists in that 5-4 shootout loss to Wenatchee. What does that mean, you know, from an ownership perspective when you have players achieving these kind of milestones?
It's excellent. It's excellent. It's exciting. First and foremost, it's exciting for them. And their families, and probably a little bit validating in some light. When you get these young fellows in your scouting reports and starting to identify players who could play for us and what have you, you know, having the players, you know, drafted and developed and have some success is great, you know, ultimately great for everybody. We have Hudson, who just, you know, went through the defense scoring, all-time scoring as well. So these are great things for the guys, and hopefully it helps add another component to their future hockey lives or future lives and whatever endeavor. But really, it's validation to a lot of the scouting and a lot of the process that goes in, and it's pretty darn exciting for the fans who get a chance to meet these young guys when they're 15 and 16 and see them grow through. Like that's the real big reward for everybody, is being able to keep them and see the growth. And yeah, it's great.
We had Height and Zach Funk on our last CAT scan podcast, and Funk has a chance to break Quinn Hancock's record of 54 goals in a season. Didn't you play with Quinn?
I did. Yeah, big chunk of time with Quinner. He was a very good player, and you know, like Funk's having a real good year and finding the net. So hopefully he can continue that and power through that record as well.
I want to ask you about the goaltending situation on the team. Everybody's got some thoughts on it. You've got, obviously, the experience in Ty Young, the 19-year-old, signing that contract with the Canucks after being a fifth-round selection. And then you have the Whiz Kid, one of two super rookies that you have on the team in Josh Ravensbergen, not even drafted. Cougars list him the next day after the draft. Starts his WHL career with 6 shutouts in 13 games. His goals against average, his save percentage all season long have been in the top 3 in the WHL. When you look at the PG Cougars goaltending, how do you look at that? What do you see?
Well, I feel very fortunate that we have two very capable guys. And, you know, like Younger's been very good for us and is, you know, a drafted National Hockey League goalie with the future on the way. And you know, Ravensbergen's just getting going and getting started. So they both got lots to offer. And it's great that we can make the ice time work for both of them, and in return it just adds so much stability to our team. It's really we feel very fortunate.
Now, you are one of the older teams in the WHL, fourth oldest, although that's a little misleading. For example, I think you're 18.22, Kelowna's 18.21. We're pulling hairs there. There's only 7 teams that have an average of under 18. Even though you do have 8 or 9 19-year-olds, and you are, you know, maybe a little bit on the older side following the trade deadline, you still have a very good future because Ravensburg is going to be in goal, you know, for the next 2 seasons after this. You've got Parizak leading all rookies in scoring right throughout the whole CHL. Height's still 18. He's going to be back in all likelihood as a 19-year-old. You've got a number of guys coming back. So you must look like a lot of PG Cougar fans. This year is different considerably than 16-17. We're 16-17, you're all in. You knew it was going to be rough after that because of the amount of older players that you had and what was coming up. But this year, the expectation is to, you know, win a BC Division, Western Conference, champions. You know, the lofty goals are there. But you also know it's not all or nothing this season. From your standpoint, talk about the differences.
Yeah, there's quite a few, actually. The cost of business to make the types of trades that, you know, are suggested can be helpful most of the time, not all the time, are very expensive now. That level of transaction is more involved than it used to be. We've had the experience of going through it a certain way once and knowing how we would change it going forward. And quite honestly, we've had some young players fill some spots that, you know, you have to let that evolve, and they've given us the confidence to stay pat and not maybe make some more. And in return, they've allowed themselves to play a lot. So, those, you know, and you have to deal with it as it is in front of you and how the league is responding to a certain point, but you really got to do what works for your own franchise and your own feeling with that, and like where you feel is the most important part of your program at that given time. And right now we feel like this was the best course of action to maybe not be as active. And we've put a lot of time into being patient. And hopefully it plays out for us the way we would like, but we shall soon see.
You know, patience is a word we hear lots, you know, not just in sports and in hockey, but in terms of life and all of those kinds of things. This ownership group has been very, very patient with a lot of different things. And in the beginning, you know, after 16-17, there weren't the results you were looking for, all those kinds of things. Do you think that all that patience, you know, people can learn from, that eventually it pays off? Because in the hockey world, it can be very difficult when everybody is saying, fire this person, trade this person, do this, do something, when you know that those knee-jerk reactions do not work long-term most of the time.
Certainly our experiences, and in mine as a player and with some of the other, you know, with some of the other guys and kind of what we tried to identify coming out of that 16-17 year was we've got to provide the level of stability that we think we need to get our program up to where we want it again and to have a run of years where that was, you know, staying at that level. And so you just go through it and you take a look and see what it looks like and how we're going to have to make that all work. And it's taken a long time, but this is what we knew was the right thing to do. You know, regardless of how it turns out, this is the way we needed to do it for the continued success of the team. And we just kind of made it, dealt with it. And when Lammer came on, we were very clear with kind of how we envisioned it. And we only talked about it once and he was ready to roll. So that's kind of how it all manifested.
And where are you at with Mark Lamb? Because originally I think he signed a 4-year contract, then he got a 3-year extension. I think this is year 2 of the 3-year extension. Is that correct?
I believe so.
Yeah. So I guess at some point, which is not a concern right now, but at some point you'll have to look at, extending it even further, I would assume.
Yeah, right now we're just focused on getting through the season and dealing with everything that comes up during a hockey season and just the health of the group, you know, on and off the ice. So we're very clear with everyone and we've got an open door for anything. So I'm not too concerned about it at this point. I'm more just focused on how we're doing.
We're speaking with Eric Brewer, a former Prince George Cougars player who is a minority owner with the hockey team. You're listening to the CatScan podcast. 10th season ownership. What have you learned the most? What advice would you give to somebody that is just starting that you wish maybe knowledge you had back then?
Well, I think you're always aware of it. Like it's just not that easy. Like when you have these young fellows come in, like you're trying to make a real positive impact on their off ice development and their on ice development. And, you know, they all mature at a different rate and finding those connections and finding the right spot for everybody is hard. It's very rewarding also. Certainly having the team be a big part of the community and having those conversations and having people call or want to talk about the team and the positive things, not only on the ice, but hey, like I ran into so-and-so around town and, you know, he seems like a really, really nice guy, or getting good reports back from the school, or, you know, like those, that all plays into it. But yeah, it's just not that easy. Really, I don't think we thought it was going to be easy, but it's been good in the sense if you know what you want to do and you're willing to spend a bit of time to get there, just making sure that everyone is where they should be, and honestly, like your scouting is the lifeblood of how these teams operate. Really, like you gotta whatever process you use for identifying your team, you gotta be consistent with it and be able to deal with that and be honest on how it's gone. And from there, you can find some consistency.
Nothing ever replaces being a player. Right now, you're a co-owner. I believe you're coaching your kids in Greater Vancouver. You can update me on that. What about hockey aspirations for you going forward?
I'm good with where I'm at right now. Like I get to spend a bunch of time with my kids and I still get to have, meaningful involvement here and get to work with great people with our, with our team. Like we're real lucky like that. And so that's a good fit for me right now. You know, if you're gonna be a full-time driver in most things, like you gotta give up to do that, and you gotta be really committed to, certainly in the sporting life, you gotta be committed to a lot of travel, and if that's, I'm just not there yet. So this is great. Like I've got a pretty good setup here, and lots of help from the other owners and our hockey staff and business staff, which are top shelf.
When we look ahead to the postseason, PG Cougars had a little bit of success last season, winning a round for the first time in 16 years. I think the anticipation is that the team may go further this year. Certainly no guarantees in terms of that. I mean, look, the team could lose in the first round. We all know those are the possibilities. But talent, paper, we put that together. There is anticipation of a run. Whether it happens or not, well, that's why we play the games. Now, you are on the run. I'm not sure it can be duplicated in terms of incredible excitement in the building. But 97, you go back, you think. What does that still mean to you? And do you think, boy, I would just somehow, if we could only re-envision that and repeat that, and all these years later, whether that's a possibility, you know, all those kinds of things. Just sort of give us your thoughts back on that and possibly looking ahead to what could be in the future.
Well, to be clear, I'd much prefer to be playing than sitting in the stands. Like, let's just get that out of the way for sure. Like, like when I see the guys, I'm like, man, like, you never know how good it is in junior until you're gone. Like, that's how it works. And so I'm like, man, it'd be so awesome to be playing junior hockey again. But like, 97 was an amazing time. Team had only been there, I think, 2 years. We just, I think that was the third year maybe we were in Prince. So the new building, you know, like the CN Center was, you know, it's just the second year there. We didn't probably have the first half we wanted, but second half got rolling a little bit. And then a little bit of that Cinderella type thing where the team just got rolling, and, you know, Mace, our goalie, got super hot, and away we went. And it was a big community thing too. Like, you weren't, like, you had to go to the building to be a part of it. Like, that's the only way it worked, really. You know, the radio was there, but it wasn't like it is now. And with the exposure and the explosion of the internet, blah, blah, blah. So amazing time, amazing, like the atmosphere in the building was just off the charts. Like the rink would just vibrate. Our hope now would be to make a new one, like to make a new memory, to make a new moment in time where people remember, like, where were you in 23, 24? Like that would be our goal. It's not to replicate it, but to have it be its own. And so that people can identify another earmark block of time.
Yeah, you mentioned, and you've been very clear, like everybody that's been a former player, there's nothing like playing. You had a very long, distinguished NHL career, over 1,000 games. Not many guys have done that. You and Ham Hughes have. But the Big Z even went a little longer. I mean, he just retired about a year ago. I mean, you were, what, 5 or 6 years ago that you finally had to retire. You can maybe update me on that, but you must be thinking to yourself, you thought you and Hamus could go a long time, and yet does he even, it didn't seem he would ever end until he finally said, well, I guess I'm going to have to.
Well, I mean, you know, Z's he's a pretty remarkable human being. Like, just him himself, he's just a phenomenal athlete with this incredible appetite for suffering in sport. And, like, you've, you know, been lucky enough to know him a long time. And so that's who he is. And he was really fortunate too with the health. Like, you have a lot of injuries and you play a lot, but he was able to avoid a lot of the, you know, big blocks of time where he can be off the ice. And so huge credit. There's so many credits to Z for so many things. But yeah, man, I think his biggest is just how long he was able to play at such a high level. Like, it's really remarkable to be that long in any sport. Like he was, it's just so long. It's not like he was tiptoeing around out there either. You know, he's blocking however many shots, you know, per season, plus the physical contact, plus the travel. And like everyone's chasing him down out there because he plays so much. So yeah, phenomenal athlete, phenomenal guy.
You know, when I've talked to some of the guys that, you know, were associated with 1997, they've mentioned they could talk about it all day, that run and everything like that. And even the guys from 2007, the same thing. Now, you had a lot of great games in the NHL. You had a big NHL career. A lot of guys from that 97 team, you know, can't say that. But is that something that, you know, if people want to talk to you about 97, you could go all day as well because the memories were that fresh and that good and all of that?
I'm happy to talk about it. It's super exciting, and I'm happy to talk some shop with anybody about hockey. So it's different now because it is dating a little bit. And so while I don't feel like an overly old human, there is a little element of a few years between then and now. So that's kind of funny, but it's the classic selective amnesia. You kind of remember the things you want to remember a certain way and other stuff you don't. And it's got to be quite meaningful to remember certain things very vividly, of which that my time in junior was that. I loved it. It was fantastic.
And it was, you know, a little bit shorter than we expected because you got called to the NHL maybe a little bit earlier than some of us thought. Now you're high pick and all that, but, you know, that happened to you.
Yeah, I was lucky. I got to, you know, a little bit lucky, a little bit, you know, a little bit of hard work reward. But, you know, I left at 19 and super exciting for me. Either way, the year is a win. Like I go back to Prince and we have a strong team and that's super exciting. And if we get to stay in the National Hockey League as a 19-year-old, then that's okay too. So, you know, but that's not a decision for necessarily for me to make. Like that's a development decision. It's it was a collective decision and, I thought it was great. But either way it was going to be great. So that's how I looked at it.
The defenseman now, compared to when you played in your prime, how do you sort of look at that?
Junior or pro?
Yeah, let's start junior because I'm talking PG Cougars defenseman now compared to when you played in the WHL.
Yeah, certainly I think across the board from junior to pro, which is typically the case, like the trickle down from pro into junior, the style of play will be fairly similar, right? And that evolves over time. Way more physical back then, like way more emphasis on grind type games. Like, don't get me wrong, like skill wins at the end of the day with some grit, but the league was bigger, it was heavier. There's way more contact. So I think you were just asked to play differently. That's just how it was. Certainly the guys now, they handle the puck better across the board. They skate better across the board. There's way more emphasis on that from minor hockey through. Having said that, the best players back then were still the best players. And if they were playing in this era, they'd still be the best players out there now. Like that's not to be lost on that. You know, big, tall, whatever, shorter, faster, like, you know, speed and skill, they kill. And the more you have the puck in the hands of your strongest players, the better chance you have to win, right? So, you know, the overall aspect of how the game was played has changed a lot. But, you know, the way that guys skate and the puck movement is just at such a premium right now. Not that it wasn't before, but, now it's just, I mean, like you watch some of these guys, like you watch a Makar or Quinn Hughes, man. I mean, these guys are, the skating level is off the charts. It's truly off the charts.
You know, you talked about physical play, and you know it's left the game to a certain extent. Yet the Cougars, they get their share of penalties, and they've got a 16-year-old Nathan Foster that drops the gloves quite often, likes to play that physical style. There's a spot for a player like that. It's still necessary, even though it's not as emphasized in the past. But Aiden made the team on his toughness.
Well, I'll push back a little bit and say Aiden made the team by playing really well.
Yes.
And toughness was a bonus. And that developed like some of, you know, like anything, certain people have different personalities, and you can't have everybody be the same. You know, you need different people and different mixes, and it makes the team run really well. And listen, I mean, if you got guys with a high skill level, lots of compete, lots of energy, and they're really physical, then that's, you know, that's great. And you need a certain level of physicality to win a hockey series at any level. That's just how it works. You know, winning championships is pretty much how much you can take, not how much you can hand out, but you still got to hand some out. And we're just looking for our guys to do a little bit of everything and to be clear on what they should or shouldn't be doing. And we're certainly not advocating guys to go out there and be dropping the gloves and stuff. Sometimes there's a little confrontation in the game, and the league will make due course on how that plays out in the future. But, you know, we just want our guys to be engaged and playing the way that they need to play and find a good spot for them.
Is there anybody that you would like to point out on the PG Cougars that really impresses you that's not a big name, not the big scorer, not the big goaltender that gets the publicity, you know, not the high-end defenseman? Is there somebody that you watch and you say, you know, I just like the way that guy plays. I like what he brings to the dressing room from what Mark tells me, all of these kinds of things. Is there somebody like that on the team, or is, you know, there's not that one or two guys that stand out in that particular role?
Yeah, tough question. I would say, off the top of my head, I would say what has stood out for me a lot in the games has been our fourth line. However construction that has been, whether it be injuries or guys in or out, the fourth line has been really quite effective for me. And really quite a plus for our team overall. You know, you're going to win with four lines. You know, you need some older guys to kind of carry the mail from a scoring standpoint and an experience and a calmness, but they've been super effective for me. They work like crazy, and you know, when other teams try and match them up with it more experienced lines, they've been very capable. So that's been great for me.
Yeah, and that's been a very youthful line that he's been able to put out. And one thing that Mark has been very consistent of, and obviously you talked to him about this as well, other than special teams, the fourth line plays as much as anybody, and he continues to put them out in key situations. It doesn't matter if it's a 2-2 tie late in the third period. If it's their turn to roll, it's their turn, other than special teams.
Well, everybody, like we've talked about a couple times here, you know, you're trying to put the guys into the spots where they're going to be best served, and making sure that they feel like they're a valued part of the team. Like, that is the job of the coaching staff. And you know, the players kind of grow within the league, and, you know, the goal is that the older players help them along and then pay it forward like it was for them, you know. And if we can do that, then you should have some stability year over year. But you still got to earn it too, right? Like, you still got to go out there, you still got to play. They still got to practice. And so, like, the great thing for me is, you know, over a period of the season, I'm more of a big view voice for things. And while the coaches see them every day and interact with them every day, like, you can see the practice habits get better of younger players. You can see their compete level change on a 3-3 road trip, you know, that we were on a little while ago that we're, you know, currently just finished again. Like, for young guys who haven't had that experience, like, you can see it in their legs when they're playing on a game, when they get in the hotel at 5 a.m. and got to play at 4 o'clock that day, and it's a third and three nights. So, you know, you got to earn it, and there's no handouts there. Like Mark and those guys, like they're very fair, but like there's no handouts. So, you know, the guys get what they get, and that's how it works.
We had John Pateman on a recent podcast or two, team president, one of the co-owners as well. He was very forthright with the numbers, saying it's about a $3 million budget per season for the PG Cougars. You need about $3,500 to $3,600 to break even. You haven't quite reached that point yet. Maybe 16-17 was a little bit of an exception. Maybe this year there's a possibility you're going to get there. You're just over $3,300 right now. But walk-up tickets have been a lot higher this year than past years. Now, I know you are on the hockey side, you know, a grind day to day. But on the business side, obviously, you are looking, you know, from a financial point of view. How closely do you pay attention to that? Do you have any comments or anything that you'd like to add other than what John has sort of shared with us earlier?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what John had shared. I'm obviously quite current with all that. But John speaks very well for all of us, so I'll leave it at that. He's been fantastic for us, so I can't add anything more than he would. He's been up north for a long time, knows a lot of people, and they've been running a lot of businesses up there, so he's very connected with what's going on up there. And our goal is just to keep pushing out a real good team every year that people want to come and watch.
But let's just talk for a minute about attendance, because it is getting quite encouraging. It's over 3,300. From just about every game you have left is on a weekend, with the exception of one Tuesday against Seattle. The promotional nights have been working very, very well. Now, the winning has a lot to do with it, but compared to last year, you're up considerably. You're getting close to the numbers of 16-17. As a matter of fact, the numbers that you're at right now, second most in the last 20 years. So this, from an ownership point of view, has to be very encouraging signs.
Well, it is. I mean, we didn't take the team on with the thought that we were going to, you know, things were just going to fall into place and it was just going to work out without doing anything about it. So in that light, it hasn't disappointed. So, you know, we had a bit of a lull there after 16-17, and good learning opportunity for us in a number of fronts. So we got a better idea of certain things, but ultimately we gotta make sure that we're playing well and developing players that people want to see and they get a chance to meet them. Like, that's a big part of it as well. You know, everybody wants to see them, but they want to meet them too. And it's a bit of it's this holistic thing, right? Like everyone's in it together. I mean, it sounds very cliche, but it is very true.
And I asked John, and I've asked you in previous podcasts, but again, I just want to ask this again about long-term commitment from yourself with Prince George, with the Cougars. From your standpoint, is that still the plan, that you want to be involved with this team from an ownership standpoint, long-term basis? Is that still, what is your mindset?
Well, yeah, we've been working towards getting to this stretch of time where, like, man, we could probably get some stability and a bunch of competitive years in a row. Like, it's really hard year after year after year after year to be at that upper level, but like that, we've just entered this, and so we're happy with this. We're not content with it, but our goal is to keep it rolling for sure.
Is this the most excited you have been now that you're in year 10? You're having success this year. You know you're going to have somewhat of success in the next year or two, maybe a lot longer. But is this something now that, I don't know if comfortable is the word, because maybe that's not the right word, but is this something that satisfied? I don't know how you would describe it, But looking where you're at now, in terms of the overall 10 years ownership.
Well, I'll be a lot more comfortable when Zimmer's back in the lineup, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Yeah, I bet.
we are very aware things can change super quick. And so while we've had a little bit of success so far, that all changes once the playoffs start and everyone's back to square one and the grind begins again. So really we're just trying to keep short, you know, ownership takes long-term looks, coaching staff, their short-term, you know, their short-term looks, and we want to just stay with that and not get too far ahead. There's a lot of good teams out there. Again, if you don't play that well, you're kind of not going to get past. Like that's the level of competition that's out there. Yeah. And you can never understate how important a hot goalie is in the playoffs, regardless of where people perceive your team to be at. So we just want to play well come into the year and make sure we solidify our spot in the playoffs. And from there, just be focused and ready.
Now, you speak of experience because in 97, Portland was, I don't know, 30, 40, 45 points ahead of Prince George in the standings, and Chris Mason got incredibly hot when you're talking about a hot goaltender. In your NHL career that you played in a playoff series, is there a series that sticks in your mind where you were by far the best team but didn't win, maybe because of a hot goaltender or something else, or the reverse, where you were clearly the underdog? Nobody thought you would win, and you did.
I guess when we beat when I was in Tampa, went to the conference finals the one year. We beat Washington in the second round, and Dwayne Rolison was smoking hot there, and we just seemed to have an answer for everything that they had. That was a time where, you know, sometimes you just get more balances than you don't. And that probably sticks out up the top of my head as where, you know, had a hot goalie, got lots of balances, played hard. Don't get me wrong. We had like a really quite a rounded contribution from everybody, which is why I think it worked out. But I don't think we were expected to get past Washington in the second round in 2011, I think.
It's always interesting, a perspective, because, you know, some media types like myself, I'll take a look at the Western Conference and I'll say, you know what, there's Portland, Prince George, and Everett. In my mind, there's a drop to Wenatchee, who sold their top two players. Victoria, I don't believe, is ready to go on a long run. And then there's a drop to the other teams. And I know people could say, well, Prince George just lost to Spokane. I understand all that. Wasn't a best of seven series. But I guess, from an ownership point of view, when you're really involved in a hockey team, it's easy for an outsider or somebody sitting in a media chair to say, yeah, there's three top teams and there's everybody else. But that's not the way those that are on the inside look at it, correct?
100%. You need to understand kind of what the makeup of the team is. Are they performing to reasonable expectations? Are they not? Are they underperforming? You know, if you look at the beginning, well, here's one right off my head. Red Deer, slow start, but now they've just been smoking hot, which is probably more in line with what we would have thought they would have played. And so, you know, get a couple injuries, you know, maybe a little bit of bad luck, you know, whatever the case may be, but kind of knowing the league is helpful, right? Like you can't, there's so much information out there now. Basically, you're informed enough to make an uninformed decision. And we can do that with any aspect of life now. And so really, unless you're in the room or unless you're cutting tape all the time and playing these teams and talking with other teams as you go, like, do you really know? Like, I watch some of the Eastern Conference games, but I don't know the league at that side as well. And so like, I know what I see on any given night, but to really get a true sense, like, I know way more about the Western Conference. So I would defer a lot of that to to the other people I'm talking to. So you just kind of got to know your lane a little bit. And the stats don't tell all. Like, if you're looking at the league-wide over the course of the year, are you looking for the last 10 games? Are you looking for the second half of the season? You know, like, you know, there's been teams who have limped into the playoffs and then just rocketed through. There's been teams who have rocketed into the playoffs and not done that well. Or, you know, there's any kind of variation. But if you're a good solid team and you're well-balanced, like, certainly the deck stacked a little in your favor, regardless of where you are in the standings.
As good as the PG Cougars have been in the regular season, to make the season as a whole successful, does there have to be playoff success? I don't want to say would that just be a bonus, because it's all about playoffs. We all understand that. But, you know, is that your mindset that, you know, hopefully things come together, we do have a playoff run, because then it does make a complete season and not a little bit, you know, there could be a little bit of emptiness despite a good regular season?
I wouldn't even go that far. I would say where we are at with the experience that we have, it's let's solidify a playoff spot and then we'll worry about everything else after that.
Anything that you'd like to say in conclusion as you talk to the PG Cougar fans, and that, Eric, as we, you know, wind down our CatScan podcast and reflect on things and the future and how good things have gone so far, what's the final word that you would like to leave with those that follow the PG Cougars?
Well, just thank you for supporting the players. I mean, they work hard. They come. They leave their homes. It's a hard league. It's a great league to play in, don't get me wrong, but it's a hard league. And, you know, it's a better environment for them and their experience when there's more people in the building. And hopefully we can make this something for a good run here, where everybody wants to be a part of it and wants to talk about it, and we'll do it all together.
And your mood gets a little better when number 13 returns, and Zimmer should be back for the playoffs, maybe a tiny bit before, but that's sort of the goal, and that's when you will can smile a little bit more, I guess.
Well, you know what? His health is first and foremost, so yeah. We'll make sure that he's tip-top first and foremost, and that time frame is in his best interest, nothing else. So if we get him, great. If we don't, we just want him healthy.
I appreciate your time, as always. Good for your insight. Take care.
Of course. Thanks for your time.
You bet. Eric Brewer is a former Prince George Cougars player. He's one of six owners on the team. And you have been listening to CatScan. Have a great one.